is March the 3rd. Is this March the 3rd already?
No, it's already March.
2005, my goodness. And this is the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, and I will now call it to order. And I'd like to recognize individuals here who have served our military, and would you stand, and we'd like to recognize you.
Sure.
We're most grateful for your service and mindful of the value. This morning, I'd just like to say how proud I am of our 162nd Infantry.
Thank you.
The recent activities in Iraq, and just makes me so proud of them and their actions. And of course, they're soon to come home, and we'll be able to tell them in person. But it just makes you so proud of their bravery and all of their activities. Also, I might mention in Gateway on Friday night at 6:30 is a USO activity. It's free, and you're certainly welcome to attend, and it's to raise money to get special items for our military over in Iraq. Also, I might mention that I did hear from Dr. Berger, and we've been talking about the need for mental health parity, and so we're looking forward to getting a copy of a new memorandum of understanding that has been negotiated on that, and I'll be bringing it to you then. And it's my understanding also, just for your calendar, that May 21st is an important day in that there is a family planned welcome home for the 162nd, and I'll give you more information as I learn of it. And that's about all I know that's extra today. I'm so glad you're here. This morning, because our administrator, who is the best of the best, is going to be leaving us shortly, we just need to briefly, quickly accept some measures so that we can move forward with our legislation. And I'm going to ask our guests if they wouldn't mind if we do this, because the man filling in for this good administrator probably would have a stroke if he had to do this.
He's a little nervous about it. I'm sure he would do fine. So.
Okay.
And I'll be back this afternoon. So.
Okay.
You want to open a work session? And
I will. I will now open a work session.
This is a routine that you've become familiar with. This is the third read-along list of legislative drafts for your consideration for introduction as committee measures. And I'll just go through and read these. Most of these are memorials, with one exception that I'll point out.
The chair does not have a copy.
Madam Chair,
thank you very much.
Your copy.
Thank you.
Two of them are for bills. One is for a resolution, and the rest are for memorials. Legislative draft 3125 is relating to taxation of military benefits. It adopts automatic connection to the change in federal definition of taxable income that relate to qualified military benefits. Would you like me to read the memorials as well?
Yes, please.
Legislative draft 3201 urges Congress to eliminate the practice of subtracting disability payments from veterans' pensions. It should say pensions. Is the word missing there? Legislative draft 3202 urges Congress to provide parity in mental health care and make veterans' mental health care benefits similar to benefits for physical care. Legislative draft 3204 urges the United States Department of Defense to return bodies of deceased Oregon National Guard and Reserve soldiers to their home communities in Oregon. Legislative draft 3207 urges the United States Department of Veterans Affairs to demand excellence from contracted providers of health care for active duty and retired members of the armed forces and their families. That could be amended to include dentistry, I'm sure.
Yes.
Legislative draft 3228 urges Congress to revise levels of veterans' benefits. Legislative draft 3229 urges the Department of Defense to award campaign medals to soldiers within 90 days after the end of their active duty. Legislative Draft 3424 urges Congress to fund health care for veterans without increased co-payments and user fees. Legislative Draft 3425 urges Congress to exempt from federal taxation income received by taxpayers while taxpayers serve in combat zones. Legislative Draft 3426 urges Congress to establish grants for veterans starting new businesses. Legislative Draft 3427 urges Congress to allow returning combat veterans up to 21 days to make transition to civilian life and workplace. Legislative Draft 3206 urges United States Department of Veterans Affairs to take measures to rectify disparity among states and regions in benefits for veterans. Legislative Draft 3429 is the resolution. It would recognize June 14th of each year as Honor Our Troops Day. Legislative Draft 3232 urges Congress to change funding of veterans' health care from discretionary entitlement to permanent and direct entitlement. And Legislative Draft 3434 relating to Oregon Veterans Home Account permits state employees to allow the deduction from their salaries or wages to the Oregon Veterans Home Account.
Thank you very much. Jim, are there any questions regarding any of these measures?
Well, I have one, if I may.
Okay, let's get to Representative Farr.
No.
Oh, okay. Excuse me.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Barnhart.
On Legislative Council 3125, what is the effect of reconnecting to the federal definition of taxable income? Do you know? The bill probably just simply does it, but I don't know what the actual effect on our tax system is if we do it.
Madam Chair.
Excuse me, just one moment.
Representative Barnhart and members of the committee, my understanding is that this assures that Oregon taxable income is the same as federal taxable income.
Right.
So
right.
I think it would say that whatever is not taxed at the federal level would not be taxed at the Oregon level.
Right, if I may, that's what reconnect means. But I wonder what the effect of that is, whether that actually has the effect of increasing or decreasing Oregon taxable income.
And I'm not sure.
Well, of course, this one will end up in the Revenue Committee, and they'll figure that out.
Right.
Presumably,
it's not our role, but
presumably they won't do it if it results in an increase in Oregon taxable income.
Okay. Madam Chair, I have an answer to that question.
Okay. Now, please, Representative Boquist, help us.
Representative Comp and I were just discussing this, and I believe the present estimate as of yesterday, because this is in a larger bill already and already exists, is roughly $1.6 million, I think, over the biennium in that particular account. It's $1.6 down for revenue collections.
Okay.
And that's, of course, a huge bill, as you know.
Yeah.
It's a huge bill. But that's the latest estimate we saw yesterday. But it is, again, one of the dozens of things being debated in revenue right now on the reconnect.
For the reconnect, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's very helpful.
This is very helpful. If I could explain further, we believe at this time this is the bill that I submitted to make death benefits exempt.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Well, that would actually reduce Oregon taxable income then. Yeah.
And that's $31,000 in the next biennium.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you very much. You are good. Both of you, and I am impressed.
Well, I was going to say I didn't know that we should bring our notes from revenue, but I'm pleased that Representative
Barnhart only.
Yeah, well, that Representative Boquist can just pull those.
Yeah.
Off the top of his head.
Because he's got that memory that's...
Well, it's because Representative Haas is nibbling on my other...
That's incredible. All right. And now, may I ask, are there any other questions, issues regarding any of these measures? If not, hearing none, we will accept them as committee bills.
Might want to get an actual motion.
A motion this time? Representative Farr, would you help us with that motion?
Madam Chair, I make a motion that we accept the following measures, bills, memorials as committee bills.
Thank you. Representative Farr has moved that we accept these measures as committee bills. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, we will do so, and I will close this work session. All right. This is how you make things happen here at the state level. We're really honored today to have these individuals who have come a long way to help us out today, and this is a very critical issue to us. In fact, we've agonized over this issue now for many, many weeks. So we're really pleased to have Alfred Brandt, the Director of Government Affairs and Marketing for the United Concordia Companies, or TRICARE Dental, as we would call it, and Richard Panampinto, and Ty Obanowski. How's that? Did I do pretty good with those names? Well, thank you very much. And for the benefit of the committee, I have to tell you this, that Mr. Brandt and I are kin. We both are Texas Aggies now, both graduates of what now West Texas A&M University, and we're Buffaloes. So, Buffaloes? In case there should be any question about it. Mr. Brandt, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's a real pleasure for us to be here this morning. We understand that several weeks ago, representatives from TriWest briefed you on the medical benefits for the reserves, and that there were a number of issues that you folks had involving the dental support for the reserves. When I was informed of that, I contacted Mr. Stembridge and said we'd be delighted to come if there was an opportunity to speak to you and address those issues. I notified the senior dentist for the Department of Defense, informed him what we were doing, as he the TRICARE management activity actually oversees our contract, and I understand, unfortunately, he's not able to participate. I will give contact information to Mr. Stembridge if you have issues that you feel that you would like addressed from the military side of the house. A little bit of my background. I'm a retired Navy Dental Corps officer. During the first Gulf War, I was the chief dentist for the Marine Corps, and I was involved in many of the mobilization issues for dental readiness of the not only the active duty but the reserves. And then I participated in the after-action reports with Reserve Affairs, Undersecretary of Defense for Health Affairs. Rich Panampinto is also a retired Navy. He's a retired Navy Master Chief. He was my executive assistant at Headquarters Marine Corps. And Mr. Obanowski is a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Medical Service Corps officer that several contracts ago was the Department of Defense Project Officer for Dental for the TRICARE program. So all three of us are very well versed in the program. As I say, it's unfortunate that I cannot speak officially for the military. I do have anecdotal information that I may be able to address some issues, but if you have specifics that you desire from the military, as I say, I'll give the contact information to Mr. Stembridge, and I'm sure they would, you know, be glad to answer those issues. I didn't come really with a prepared presentation today because I understand you really had questions you wanted to know about the program. Just a little in background information. The first contract for the Reserve Dental Program was let in 1997. It was basically a very basic program. Humana was the contractor for that program, and it actually met with a fairly dismal history. At that time, the services really didn't enforce their end of the regulations involving reserves as far as their dental readiness, and because of that, Humana really didn't go out and market the program. It was a very cheap program. Premiums were about $4.25 a month, but it was basic care, basically exams, x-rays, a cleaning, and some basic restorative, and I think there were some extractions, that type of thing. The program, the contract was relet in 2001, and it was combined with the TRICARE Dental Program, which we were the contractor for, and it our particular contract provides for support for the family members of the 7 uniformed services, which in addition to the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps, you have Coast Guard, Public Health, and NOAA, the National Oceanographic. That's a very small group, however. In 2001, on our contract, they did add not only the select reserves, but the individual ready reserves and their family members. To date, in our particular program, I will be basically just addressing the issues of the actual reserve members themselves. If you have questions about what benefits are for their families, we can address that. But for the reserves themselves, in our current program, nationwide, only about a little over 3% of all eligible reserves participate in our program. In Oregon, it's a little over 4% of the eligible reservists in Oregon participate. That's a very low percentage. However, in the surveys that Department of Defense has done, they feel that the total number of reservists that have some sort of dental coverage, whether it be from a plan that's similar to a Fortune 500 company or to a very minimal basic plan, is about 70%. So if you take that 70% and add for Oregon, 3%, it's about approximately 74-75% would have some sort of coverage. We don't feel it's such an issue on the dental readiness of not having coverage. It's one of not using the benefits. Quite honestly, when we first got the contract, I met with a National Guard general, and it was at that time we were looking at dental readiness to be prepared for mobilization.
Right.
I met with him a year later, and he says, we're not going to market it that way anymore because people didn't get their work done. And so they saw this that they probably wouldn't be called up. As we all know, that is no longer what is keeping people from being called up. Today, it's a situation where a lot of people are reporting for active duty, as several of you who are on active duty or have been on active duty are aware of. They're not ready to go. It's put a big burden on the active duty forces. It's put a big burden on taxpayers. There are several programs out there, however, in addition to the TRICARE Dental Plan, that takes care of the unmet dental needs of reservists. One is a program called Feds Heal. This is a program that the Department of Defense, primarily the Army, initiated as a stopgap measure to take care of the immediate mobilization medical needs of the reservists. Primarily, what it did is it gave them the basic health physicals, immunizations, and dental exams. There was some consideration given that it would take care of some basic dental needs, but that has never worked out. Also, for the reservists who are in the special category for mobilization, once they get their orders 90 days prior now to reporting, they can get health benefits, dental benefits from the active duty. What that basically is, however, is that is contracted out to local dentists, and the Department of Defense pays that bill. So that's where it really has encumbered the taxpayer. I think the big question is how do you get these individuals to make sure that they have their dental needs met? I think you have the responsibility is on the member himself for his own dental health, but it's also on the unit commander of that individual to ensure that his members of his unit meet the dental readiness to be deployed. We're here as the contractor and administrator of the program to do what we can in marketing that program, but it's the premium currently is $9.32 a month. It's a very cheap premium. They get the same benefits as the families of our active duty forces get, which is comparable to dental plans offered by Fortune 500 companies. There are some co-payments involved, but it's minimal, and it's just one that the program is not being utilized. With that, I'll be glad to answer specific questions, and you know, we can get into other areas there that you may desire.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brent. Do we say Mr. or Doctor?
I go by anything.
Okay.
It's been 10 years since I practiced. So.
Thank you so much for this information. Just recently, we learned of this 90-day plan. Unfortunately, what we found was that the orders from DOD do not come in time for these families and members to access this. In fact, we just had a large group that had just been sent out like a week or 2 weeks before, I believe, our 3670. And I'm sure they went without knowing this and could have had teeth fixed and root canals and all those things that are just bad, you know, if they happen. I spent a lot of my life overseas, and I know you don't want to have treatment in some of those locations. So I'm wondering what could be done, one, to get those orders more promptly. Two, we ask what's being done to advertise. We see a lot of institutional informational advertising about all sorts of health benefits for us local yokels. But when it comes to our military, and I'm just wondering, is there not a budget that would allow, you know, major TV stations to come on and, you know, besides recruit, you know, explain that the military need to call certain numbers because they do have benefits that they may not be aware of?
I know that Reserve Affairs, of course, has put out messages to the units. When we first took over the contract, we put a lot of our brochures in the various units. Last night in the hotel, I checked some of the local websites for the Air Guard here in Oregon. There are links to the dental plan. There is information out there on the streets. Now, we have attended the Reserve annual conferences. We've also attended some of the National Guard dental conferences, talked to the various state guard directors for dentistry. You know, it's a hard thing. As I mentioned to Mr. Stembridge, you can lead a horse to water, but how do you make him drink? You know, I hate, you know, that's a trite saying, but we hear so often when we're in the reserve units, we've never heard of the program, and yet we know that information is out there. We go to many of the other military annual conferences. We man booths. We pass out word there. We meet with the recruiters that put out the word. There are gaps in the system, and we understand that. When we first took over this contract in 2001, we had to detail two of our marketing reps just full-time to hit the major reserve units. We targeted units that were over 300 in strength. One of the problems we've run into, quite honestly, is the fact that most of the reserve units either drill on the first or second weekend. And it's very difficult because since they're all on the same weekend to hit them.
Well, is there a possibility we could ask? I'm not sure where the burden lies, whether it's with TRICARE or the DOD, that we ask for some, you know, institutional advertising in major publications in on television. Could we?
I think, you know, that's probably something that ought to be addressed with DOD. I do know that on the Army side with DOD that they have contracted with a marketing company, but it's, to my knowledge, it's not television, it's not the major publications. That they're putting out a publication called Dental Bites. It's sort of the cartoon style that many of the Army publications have been, and putting those out into the reserve units on bases and that. They have another one that's strictly oriented toward health issues. But again, I think this is something that probably needs to be brought up with the Department of Defense recruiting agencies, that when they recruit these individuals, that they promote it. Again, with our contract and this, we've had a contract, we're in our second contract that we've had on this. During the first contract, we used to be able to go into the boot camps. And at that point, they would lockstep. They'd say, everybody who's married, raise your hand. You know, here's the program. Under this current contract, we're not allowed to go into the boot camps anymore. And because the premium is required up front, that's created a problem because the recruits don't have checkbooks and things like that. So that is possibly one area that I know we've addressed that with the Department of Defense, that they need to look at a mechanism where they can get to many of those recruits, which would affect reserves, because they all go through, you know, training and that, too. As the representative knows, who was deployed to Iraq, you don't want to show up over there and have to travel the roads any more than you have to go down to get a filling or your whatever.
Sure.
You know, and so I know that's a problem, and it's an unfortunate one. But
how do you communicate, for example, excuse me for interrupting, with the county veteran service officers? I mean, that's we're right there in 34 of our counties. Do you notify them? Do you send them regular publications, regular alerts?
Not that I'm aware of that. We've ever dealt with any of the county, have we?
No, I didn't. Madam Chairman, I represent...
Could you identify yourself for the record, please?
I'm Ty Abanoski. I'm the Dental Benefit Advisor, and Oregon is part of my area. excuse me. I travel throughout the state of Oregon upon request and give briefings to units. I have not dealt with the veterans and the veteran affairs folks. I deal primarily with the National Guard headquarters. I have a point of contact there, and I give briefings to all of the units as they request it. I've given over a dozen briefings here in the last couple of years in the state of Oregon to mobilizing units and their family members. And that's the direct marketing that we do. And I routinely, four times a year, come to Oregon, visit all of the major units and the points of contact, make sure everything is going okay. They all have the same package that you were provided with today with all the information. All of those handouts are given to them in quantities that they desire. All they have to do is ask me for them, and I mail them all the time to them to give out to the soldiers.
What is the copay?
The copay, it depends on the type of service that's being provided. For basic restorative, there's a 20% copay for drilling and filling.
20%?
20%. You get in up front. Well, once you see the provider will bill the insurance carrier, United Concordia, and their cost for the family member or the soldier is 20% for filling. Mm-hmm. For endodontics, periodontics, there is a 30 or 40% cost share depending on their pay grade. Orthodontics is, of course, it's a 50% cost share. So there's different levels. There's one chart in there that shows you the different levels of copays. For the two exams, two cleanings a year, including the x-rays, the annual x-rays, there is no copay. It's 100% covered.
And is this a program available to the families as well?
Yes, ma'am.
Children and spouse?
It's open to everybody, active duty families, National Guard reserves, and their families all have the same benefit.
And after these individuals leave military service, do they continue this plan under another branch of your company, or do they have to seek new?
They have to seek new coverage. If they should retire from the reserve establishment, they can participate with Delta Dental, who has the contract for the retirees. Depending on where they're located, whether and who they may or may not work for, whether or not they'd be covered by us.
What was the name of the retired?
Delta Dental, of California has
retired. Delta Dental?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. So to bridge that paperwork, how do they do that?
It's when they are leaving the reserves, and that information is given as part of their out processing, is what I've been told, that Delta Dental is available to them.
Okay. And they have to accept all?
No, they don't have to. It's a, both of these are voluntary programs.
But Delta Dental would have to accept all retired military who apply.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just going to be sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Are there other questions? Representative Kong.
Just for clarification, I know, Madam Chair, you asked about the whether families were available, and I just want to verify what I've been reading here. The premium net is $9.32 for the individual, then goes to, if they want family enrollment, on the one page here for the mobilization, demobilization page, it's $58.27 for the family?
Yes, ma'am. It's a little different for the active duty families. These programs are, for the active duty, the government pays 60% of the premium, the families pay 40%. In the reserve side of the house, it's a little different. For the sponsor himself, he's $9.32. If it's just the one member, a wife, it's $19.
Okay.
And then for the family, it'd be $58.27. Mm-hmm. The only time that changes is once that reserve member is activated. Then it's automatic that his family will get the same rate as the active duty families got.
Just wanted to make sure I read that right. Thank you.
And I might just ask this question. Excuse me. One of the problems we've had here in the state has been the delayed payment to our physicians on some of our medical claims. So we've had many drop out. And I just wonder, what is TRICARE's
We've had very good success with our payment rates. Initially, I think there were some of the providers that had some problems, but we're monitored by the military, the Department of Defense, and we have to pay very quickly, and we've always met our goals as per contract.
Is there any penalty in your contract
if you
do not pay promptly?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, what would that be?
I can't tell you offhand. I can let you know. I can find out. But
I think the taxpayer would like to know that.
Mm-hmm. It's significant if we don't meet contract.
Mr. Panapinto, will you identify yourself?
Yeah, Rich Panapinto, I'm manager for Benefit Relations. It is significant if we don't meet contract, but like Dr. Branagh said, we're in that area. 96% of all claims have to be paid in 14 days.
All right.
And
mm-hmm.
we've never had that. When we get into a cumbersome claim, meaning we need an x-ray to prove that the work was done or more clarification from the dentist himself, 98% of the claims have to be paid then at the 30-day mark, and 100% have to be paid or declared denied next process at the 60-day mark. And we've never, we're always within that area. Madam Chair, if I could back to one area on how we get that word out. One big area within the reserve and the guard is we have a lot of seminars that we do, train the trainers. Every reserve unit has what they call a family readiness coordinator, and that is one of our primary folks that we try to get to tell them about this program. Because if you drive around, you go into every little town, there's a reserve or a guard unit there. We can't get there personally to all of them. But by getting to those other units where we're training the trainers, getting with the family readiness coordinators, either at their conferences or when they're having annual training, we get in there to get the word to them. They have that responsibility, and it helped us out a lot by filtering that word down within to the units. So that's one of our primary contacts is family readiness coordinators.
And would you know when was the last train-the-trainer meeting you had here with the family readiness coordinators?
In the state of Oregon, my point of contact is Sergeant First Class Cecil Owens with the State Area Command Headquarters, mm-hmm. and he does the majority of that. I'm available to him. I've given briefings primarily to mobilizing units that he's asked when large groups, but as far as a train-to-trainer session, specifically for family readiness in Oregon, I have not. There's a family readiness for the reserve, which is a different course than the guard. I will be doing that at the end of next month for this whole region in Washington, up in Seattle, at their 70th Regional Readiness Command Symposium for the reserve family readiness coordinators for Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and all of that. They just got started on the 14th, the 13th of March.
And Cecil Owens is?
Sergeant First Class Cecil Owens. He's a health system specialist with the Stark headquarters, the Adjutant General's office. Now, here he's a medical representative, been my point of contact for the past 4 years on all matters dealing with the TRICARE dental program.
Representative Farr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm looking on the page that you gave us, TRICARE Dental Program, and it talks about participating dentists. And one of the questions that arose during a prior presentation was regarding dentists that are on a list of participating providers. And so our question was, you know, it says here a complete directory is available, but you should call your provider first to be sure that they're still participating in the program. Are there any areas, you know, Oregon is a very large state. We have some extremely remote areas. Are there some places in Oregon that may not have providers that participate?
Yes, ma'am.
Good question.
Initially, we went out to recruit providers in the military catchment areas around the large military installations. And then, of course, we married that where we had commercial business. Oregon does not have any major installations other than the Coast Guard. It's in certain parts of the country, it's difficult to recruit providers because of their experience with third-party payers. Here in Oregon, we have a little over 500 participating providers, which I think is pretty good. I'm very happy with that. Now, the contract is such that if you go to a participating provider, that participating provider has agreed to accept our reimbursement schedule and that he'll file the paperwork and all that, take care of that. But the individual can go to any provider that he would like. There's a little difference in what his copay would be then. Depending on what type of work is actually done, that can be rather insignificant, or if it's for one of the higher cost procedures, it could be a couple hundred dollars.
Great concern that, you know, our veterans be able to access local, you know, medical care. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very, very important for those who have to drive all the way to the Veterans Hospital in Portland. I mean, for some it's a 7-hour drive. And we just think that is greatly disrespectful and
my experience
time-consuming and not to the best of the well-being of the veteran.
Madam Chairman, my experience has been in recruiting dentists to participate in support of the military programs. You have many that actually served in the military or are currently in the reserves, and because of the patriotic issues that they will participate, not all, but most of them do. You have those whose practices may not be doing quite as well as their brother dentist. And they're looking for any means to keep their overhead down, and they'll participate. And then you have others that, quite frankly, they don't need more patients, and they've elected not to participate. It's a business decision.
Do they make less from this program than commercial?
Ma'am.
How much less? If they serve the veteran.
To serve the veteran. It depends. We have 17 different fee schedules, so it really depends on, you know, what states and that. Another issue that we run into, and particularly here in the Northwest, is that many of the dentists feel that third-party payers are telling them how to do dentistry. Here in the Northwest, a lot of dentists do use what it's called a posterior composite. It's a tooth-colored filling in the back part of the mouth. Our program, and most programs, does not pay for a posterior composite per se. It's much more expensive. We give what's known as an alternative benefit. We'll pay an offset against a silver filling. Research has shown that silver fillings are still good, but it's the posterior composites are being taught more and more dental schools. I think eventually that will be the accepted norm. But there are providers that just won't use silver fillings, and they feel that, quite honestly, that they're put in the middle, that the third-party payer is questioning their professional ethics and only putting in the posterior composites.
Would Mr. Brandt, would those, excuse me, would those dentists who participate with, I know you have these 17 different fee schedules, but would it be 20% less than typical commercial, 30%, 40%? I'm just trying to, I want to write a letter to these dentists and thank them for participating. I mean, I appreciate their participating.
I'll get you that exact information.
Okay.
Because, as I say,
I think that ought to be recognized for serving our military.
Northwest, the fees are much higher, by and large, than in other parts of the country.
Oh.
So I'll have to get you the exact, and I will.
Thank you.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
May I add something to what Dr. Brandt was saying? As Dr. Brandt mentioned, I used to work for the TRICARE Management Agency and help put the initial contract together. There's a provision in this contract that protects, to some degree, the soldiers and their families. The provision is what we call the 35-mile rule. If there is no participating dentist within 35 miles of where the soldier or the family resides, the family member is instructed in the benefit booklet to call United Concordia, giving us an opportunity to find a dentist within 35 miles that participates in the program. If we cannot do that, we advise the family they go to the dentist of their choice. The contractor then is required to pay, not on a fee schedule, but to pay based on the billed charges. So if a cleaning is $60 in Portland and in Bend it's $92, and there are no dentists in Bend, then we're required to pay the $92, not the discount. Because it pushes the contractor, if you will, to build a network where a network is needed. Now, if there's two families in Bend, Oregon, they're not necessarily going to build a network for two families. They will just pay the difference.
Sure.
But that is a provision that was put in the contract initially and is still in effect.
Thank you for that information, Mr. Obanowski. And are you a doctor?
No, I'm a healthcare administrator.
Okay. Just thought I should have been saying that too. Representative Boquist, did you get your question answered? It was half hour ago.
No, Madam Chair, I didn't.
But I didn't forget you. Please go for it.
My question is in the enrollment procedures. I see in the flip charts, and I do appreciate, well, you can talk about unit commanders, but if you're the unit commander in Burns, and just so you know, we use Burns as a big example on this committee.
Yeah.
It's out in the middle of nowhere out there, but there are over 100 National Guard soldiers deployed from there right now from the 116 CAV. And so I understand. What was, and you may not be able to only, I think your word you use is anecdotally. Mind you, I'm a special forces officer, so these big words aren't very good for me. anecdotally, maybe I'll understand, but what was the DOD's rationale for... That's right.
We charge, I'm going to mention, for acronyms.
What was the Pentagon's rationale?
There you go.
Simple words. For requiring an upfront payment versus a enrollment payroll deduction or something similar to SGLI. I mean, why make the payment up front?
Whoa, SGLI? What is this?
Soldiers Group Life Insurance.
Okay.
That's what happens when you miss billing way lately. Doing the people's business.
Yeah.
But I think you understand the gist. I know you guys, you're the administrator of the program, so it wasn't your choice to do this. But DOD, obviously, Department of Defense, and the Pentagon obviously had some reason for requiring a check up front or a Visa card up front versus being able to go to the unit, enroll in this program. And then what is the time frame for enrollment? Because I think we're averaging in the state of Oregon something like 17 days notice on mobilization orders.
Okay, let me answer that part first. If you enroll before the 20th of the month, you should be good to go and get the dental work done by the 1st of the following month. But again, it's incumbent to just check, because once we get the enrollment form, we have to send that to DEERS, the Defense Eligibility Enrollment Eligibility System. And if that word doesn't get back to us, the individual may go to a dentist, have the work done, and if he's not in our system as being approved, we'll deny it. Now, normally, we'll then go back and see if it comes back that it was fine. We'll go back and take care of it after the fact. But that is normally, if they enroll by the 20th, they're good to go by the 1st of the following month. As to the change in the system, I think I don't know all the rationale, the reasons that were for it. I think part of it was is taking on the reserves, that there are a number of them that don't always attend drills, and so they wanted the payments up front. It is a the program has set up always originally as payment up front, but it was taken out on the active duty side from their deposit from the LES from the Defense Finance Department. As I say, that issue has been addressed numerous times, and it really has not been changed, but it has encumbered the system, no question about it.
Mr. Brandt, excuse me, please, Representative Volquist. For these individuals who just left, who didn't know of the 90-day pre-MOB dental care that was available to them, but can they go ahead and send those bills in now, even though they didn't know about it, and y'all will cover it?
Well, number one, on that 90 days, part of that is it's on the United States government to take care of that. And I think that they go back retroactively and have taken care of it if there's been, you know, they see where the orders were actually issued 90 days prior. Because we have run into that where people will be get their mobilization orders, and unfortunately they'll report in, get activated, and then they go to their family dentist, and we say, wait a minute. You're now covered under the active duty side of the house where the care is provided free, and we don't provide that care. So there is a system in place that has taken that addresses that. So what I would do in those cases is have those individuals contact Department of Defense for Health Affairs or their for their particular service, and show that, you know, the copies of their activation orders and that, and they should be able to get some help in that regard.
Thank you. And could you continue now, Representative Buckley?
Madam Chair, and under the, I know this is not your bailiwick, so you can plead the fifth. Because one of the problems is what you're saying, and if I follow correctly, and is this you cover reservists that sign up voluntarily, make a first month's payment, and then I believe it can be deducted out of their payroll on their monthly check. And then when they're activated, they're disenrolled from your system. Okay. Who is it that who are they then enrolled under?
It's under the active duty. It's an automatic thing. Once it's DEERS is notified, mm-hmm. once they're activated, DEERS is notified. And they're eligible then for all dental benefits under the Department of Defense.
Follow up, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay, who's the Department of Defense in your mind in Burns, Oregon?
Okay, in Burns, Oregon, it would be, since it's an Army unit, it would be the Army would have to notify once they get copies of those that the person's actually been activated. And the unit diary clerk, I'm not sure in the Marine Corps it's a unit diary clerk, I don't know what they call them in the Army, but it's up to him to notify DEERS when they make the entries. And then DEERS, you know, puts it into the Department of Defense system.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Chief, you see where I'm going here? Maybe you can answer it better.
I do. My question would be back to you is once those orders are there, the reservist is now on active duty, whether they've deployed or not, but now we're on active duty. Where do those family members go to get their new ID card?
Yes.
That's probably.
Because that changes mm-hmm. the DEERS code, and this program is very dependent on what DEERS says mm-hmm. by one, if they're in the program or not in the program, and second, how much of the premium, if any at all, DOD is paying for their premium.
Yeah. Affirmative. And
well, there you go.
Well, that's the question. We don't have an answer for that. And it's in Burns, Oregon, Madam Chair. We're talking about the National Guard, but we could be easily talking about downtown Portland, the 39th Marine Corps Reserve.
Yes.
That's just on its way back to Iraq for a second tour. I guess I'm still not clear. Once the unit is, and we'll just use Burns as an example, is activated, and mind you, in the state of Oregon, just so you know, the National Guard has never got a mobilization order in less than 30 days. Mm-hmm. So the average is about 17 days. So, I mean, there isn't a 90-day window regardless of benefits. But where would the family member, and I know it's not you, where would the family member that did have a DEERS card that's valid in Burns go to get dental treatment? Who is supposed to provide that dental treatment?
Okay, now are we talking family member or yeah. the reservist?
Yeah, family member.
That family member? A couple ways of doing that. If they're enrolled in this program already, go to our website, punch in Burns, and see if what dentists are in that area. If there are none, we have a customer service 1-800 number that they can call there and help them with that search.
The 1-800.
Is it on here?
Yes, it is on there.
Yeah.
Let me read it in.
Yes, would you? Let's read it into the record.
Where is the number?
Is that right, the number?
Yes,
1-800-866-8499.
Thank you.
That's where sometimes with a clarification for certain questions is I'd like to make sure it's clear that if we're talking reserve members, which you brought up about who goes back and pays those claims, if that's a reserve member, they now come under Department of Defense. But if it's the family member and there's been a claim that has not been paid out there or they're due a reduction in the premium, once that DEERS entry is made and that they show that they are on active duty as of this date, the premium goes back, and if they're due a refund, we get that to them. And if there was any claims out there that we denied because they showed the enrollment wasn't there, then after that all the premiums are straightened up, then the claim is reprocessed. So it's important to know if we're talking the reservist member himself, if that's a claim for him, or if it's a claim for the family member of that reserve member.
Just got to separate them from the active duty.
Not to confuse it, but, you know.
So far, I'm tired already.
I know.
Just worrying about how to get this information to them to know how to work the system. And it, to me, it just really speaks to the critical need for ombudsmen in the state who are thoroughly versed. We can't expect the Department of Veteran Affairs, nor the Guard, nor the Reserve Unit to handle. We have 370,000 veterans in our state, plus another 10,000, you know, who've been activated in this war. And their family members makes it 40,000. So I am greatly concerned for this line of communication and information. Representative Carr.
Well, thank you, Chair Nelson. I was just noting under treatment service costs, they have three columns, and they have Salem, Oregon, and the cost if you're enrolled in the program and the cost if you're not enrolled. But it's the center column, and I just wanted to bring this to everyone's attention, that even if you're enrolled in the program, the cost is still almost $500. And I think that probably Representative Boquist could speak to this. I would imagine that there are a number of reservists who are called up that may need this treatment, but can't possibly meet the copay of almost $500. Would you agree?
But I would agree, but I think what the, and I apologize, I don't remember what the chief was saying here, is the key point is that this is for the reservist period. Once the reservist is called up, he's on active duty, and then he's covered 100%.
But didn't we just hear a presentation that said there were reservists who had been called up that were active duty, but there was no treatment available for them?
We did hear testimony.
We did, in fact, and that's a DOD problem. Department
that's a very good
problem.
Yeah, you're right on.
Which I think, you know, quasi-discussion here, Madam Chair, what Representative Farr is pointing out is this goes back to the Pentagon and the whole thing of, do you get the mobilization order in time, and does the guy get mobilized, and then what mechanism is placed? And if you'll recall, like most of the committees, the members of the committee, is the Department of Defense is establishing these 2-4-person medical contact teams of some sort at the military department to try and address this issue. But results are yet to be seen, Madam Chair.
Would it be possible to understand the difference in this dollar amount here on these in these three columns? What do I not understand?
Different treatments.
Yeah, they're all different.
You have the UCR data on that?
No. Just how to.
If you look at some, if you take the root canal out, which I've had multiple torture chambers with root canals.
You're not bad.
I think if you take that out, this enrolled number might be significantly different.
Right.
Because of a root canal, it's a fairly expensive.
Yeah, and also is the crown.
Crown.
Right. The crown's the expensive one. Yeah. Basically, the exam and cleaning are free. And x-rays are free also. So that one really comes down to the root canal and the crown on that one.
May I follow up?
So the city has nothing to do with, the location here has nothing to do with the cost. No. Or this E to 7, E4, which I don't understand, 0 to 3.
Yeah, what that is if There is a break for the lower enlisted pay rates, grades. E1 through E4, instead of paying a 40% copay, they pay 30% copay.
And the E7?
They'll pay the full 40%.
And the 0 to 3?
That's also 40%.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My point, and I probably didn't clarify that in pointing to the center column, was for someone who's being called up to active duty, if you need a root canal and a crown, it's pretty serious.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to wait knowing that you might not be able to get treatment later because it's going to be a very long 18 months. So that was the reason I pointed that out. Of course, even fillings can become necessary based on the severity of the decay. But for a root canal and a crown, and I think that was one of the points that was made to us by some family members, that their son needed this particular dental work.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't done.
You mean while he was on active duty?
There wasn't any way to get it done. I mean,
right.
there was no treatment available.
Well, for your information also, today, Department of Defense has a critical shortage of dentists. There are more dentists retiring today than the schools are putting into the system. Department of Defense is almost 1,000 dentists short, so they are starting to send many of the active duty people into the local communities, and they're paying bill charge for that care. It's critical right now. They just don't know where they're going to get dentists. They're using a lot of contract dentists, but the pool of contract dentists is also very small, and just about anybody that wants to be a contract, have a contract position, can get hired tomorrow.
Mm.
And it's really critical. And, of course, from the support of troops in the theater, almost all the reserve dentists and the guard have already deployed. They have it's called 90 Days Boots on the Ground program. They don't want to go back in and send them for a second tour because they're afraid they'll, you know, leave the reserves. That's right.
Mm.
And so that's, it is a critical issue.
Far more than we even begin to know, I'm sure.
Mm.
Any other questions? Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to follow up on a couple of points that questions that you were asking earlier. On this chart that we've been looking at, treatment service costs enrolled versus not enrolled, the not enrolled number on that chart, is that based on your fee schedule or what the usual and customary charges are?
It's unusual and customary.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And a follow-up, if I may.
Yes,
on the topic of fees, who establishes the actual fee that will be paid under the program? Is that established by the company? Is it established through the contract you have with the government or in some other way?
No, we establish that fee.
We being?
The company, I'm sorry.
The contractor.
The contractor.
And that's part of the contract mm-hmm. that you have with the government. Could you describe what the bases are that you use for establishing the fee that's paid rather than paying usual and customary?
Okay. Well, the contract reads that we have to pay at a certain percentile for our participating providers. For non-participating providers, there is also a certain percentile that we have to pay at. Then basically it's to go out and approach dentists to recruit and see if you can recruit a network at a certain fee schedule. That's basically how it works.
Okay.
How far are above Medicaid and Medicare? Would you be?
It just depends on, again, which states you're in.
Oregon.
Good idea.
And I'm afraid I can't address that.
It would be interesting to know that. Do you provide services commercially as well?
We do, ma'am. I don't believe we have anybody in Oregon other than maybe retirees from the auto industry, or we do cover in our commercial products several large corporations, and there may be some splinter groups around in Oregon. I'm just not sure. I can find it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just not aware if we do.
Thank you. And a continued follow up on the same topic. Could you get us the information of the formula that you use for figuring out what the fees are that you'll base your payments on. Several times you've answered, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It would be useful to fill in the I don't knows if you could do that.
Sure.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Stembridge.
Well,
Administrator.
Your committee administrator, I just want to point out that Mr. Brandt was kind enough to send me a list of all the Oregon participating dentists. And I have that. I neglected to get that out to you, but we can.
Was that caused by that hit on the top of your head?
Yeah.
That we detect.
I should be wearing the hat today.
Yes.
And we can check out Burns and other locations and see what the participating dentists are.
Okay, I think we can forgive him today. For that first time ever, and perhaps we could ask Aaron to look after memory lapses in the future. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you so much, and we know you traveled a lot to get here, and we're so grateful, and we appreciate how serious you are about the need to support our military appropriately and our veterans, and most grateful.
Madam Chairman, I would like just to end saying that I hope that we can work closely with you in the future. On the 31st of this month, the award for the next contract will be announced. We have our fingers crossed that we'll continue with it.
And is it a 2-year award?
It's a 5-year contract.
5-year.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And that's even more pertinent to get that information, Representative Barnhart. We could talk to members of our congressional delegation about that. I might just take this privilege now to ask you, do you think our water should be fluoridated?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. that's a huge issue here in Oregon at this time, and I'm not even allowed any more questions and no debate. Are there any? Oh, thank you so much. And I'll ask now, is anyone else here to testify about any matters? If not, and any other information from the committee?
Madam Chair,
Representative Boquist.
It dawned on me, I had a blinding flash of the obvious a few minutes ago. I just happened to recall, I don't know why I didn't think about this before, but the National Guard, the Oregon Military Department, actually sends out a monthly magazine to every National Guard soldier in the entire state.
That's a very good point for advertising.
And then it would seem logical to raise the question of the military department. Have they put a quarter-page advertisement for this organization, as an example, and for TRICARE and the other benefits and issues we're
trying to
do? Or likewise, have a public a section that has the 800 number, for example.
Right. The Times, the Hall of Time, and during a certain month they have the TRICARE supplement.
Right. Yes, Mr. Panapinto, would you please come back to the microphone and we'll square you back in here, just because we get this information on the record, please.
Yeah,
we haven't adjourned, so we're still acting.
Manager of Benefit Relations. On representative request or on the information as far as other advertising and getting the word out, in the Times magazines, it goes out to Army, Navy, the Marine Corps, all of them, there is a monthly, do you remember what month it is? I want to say, I think it is like the February time frame. They have a TRICARE supplement in the Times that it goes over all the benefits, all the different companies, all the ins and outs about using TRICARE, both medical and dental and the pharmacy. And that is widely put out there nationwide and even overseas.
And also I thought maybe I could ask Mr. Obanowski if he might help us out and follow through with Representative Boquist's concept about, you know, talking with our guard and seeing if you could secure that they have the information.
Yes, ma'am. I will check with Sergeant First Class Owens and see if he needs any additional information. I will be back up here next month. I'm briefing a training conference of the Counter Drug Task Force. I do that every year for them, so I will be back in Oregon next month, visiting all of the reserve centers, the guard units in the Portland, Salem, Eugene area.
Thank you so much. All right. Now, any other ideas you've thought of since that last thought? Representative Boquist?
No, thank you, ma'am.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. And on behalf of our committee, we just want you to know we recognize you're committed to our military and our veterans, and we're grateful.
And I'll make sure, Madam Chairman, that we get those answers to Mr. Stembridge.
Thank you so much. And this meeting is adjourned.
Okay.